Welcome to Local Motion. My name is Amber McDaniel, and I'll be your host today as we look at multicultural education in public schools on the western slope of Colorado. Multicultural education is a set of strategies and materials in U.S. education that were developed to assist teachers to respond to the many issues created by the rapidly changing demographics of their students. It provides students knowledge about the histories, cultures, and contributions of diverse groups. As with any topic regarding education or race, the definition is one which varies according to individual perspectives. I wanted to take a micro look at the topic and find out what multicultural education looks like in public schools here on the Western Slope. For this comparison, I interviewed teachers from three different public elementary schools, asking them what multicultural education looks like in their individual schools. Here's Angela Jalan, a teacher at the North Fork Community Montessori School in Hotchkiss. What does multicultural education look like in your school?
Okay, well, I can talk about my classroom. I can't really say about the school. And in my classroom, what I strive to do is I am in charge of the reading and the writing program in our classroom, and I make sure that when we do any kind of reading assignments or writing assignments, that I'm always looking for authors and poets from all different ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. So, for example, when we do poetry, we always start the year off with poetry, and to kind of do a poetry study, talk about poetry styles and what poems can be about. I always choose authors, poets like Langston Hughes or Nikki Giovanni or other poets from various ethnic backgrounds. And so the kids can see what different experiences people can have and what different lifestyles are like. One of the challenges, I think, moving here was it's not a lot of diversity in our schools and our communities.
Right.
So I want the kids to be exposed to lots of different viewpoints and ideas. So that's definitely in the poetry. When I do literature, we do a lot of literature groups and books, and usually around a theme. So when we do American history, I'll choose stories like Little Thunder, Hear My Cry, or Maniac McGee, or Esperanza Rising, books that talk about kids' experiences from different cultural backgrounds. So mostly it's kids in the U.S. who are from different ethnic backgrounds.
Okay.
And that way the kids can see what all different kinds of experiences are in our country. And so some are migrant farmers, and some are kids who grew up in cities, and some are, you know, kids from different kinds of family backgrounds. So for me, that's how I approach it in my classroom.
At the school, do you feel like it's a consistent thing throughout all of the different grade levels in your school, or do
Yes.
you feel like it's more concentrated in just your classroom, or is it kind
of? No, in fact, I feel like from primary on, so primary is the 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old classroom.
Mm-hmm.
They do all kinds of cultural celebrations. So they'll do, you know, obviously do Martin Luther King, but they'll do Chinese history. They do Diwali, which is a Hindu holiday. They will do. Kind of celebrate, I don't know if they've done Hanukkah or in the past. I think it depends who's in their classroom. But they definitely sort of honor the different celebrations of the different people. Part of the Montessori philosophy is also learning about different cultures in general. So whether it's ancient civilizations, I just feel like it's kind of it's woven throughout the curriculum. It's not a day that we celebrate something, but it's
mm-hmm.
sort of woven throughout, through literature and different events and activities and research projects too.
Is that just something that Montessori schools do, or do you feel like that's something that carries over into public schools in general often or not?
You know, in this county, I have no idea. I know I taught in New York City and I taught in Denver, and there it was kind of immersed into what we do,
mm-hmm.
partly because our student population was so diverse. So just talking about students' communities, you'd end up talking about, you know, different ethnicities and different diverse experiences. So I can't say anything about the other schools on the Western Slope. I have no idea.
As an educator, if you could do one thing to increase multiculturalism in your school, what would it be?
I think there's more discussions. Like, if you do more literature-based experiences with kids, then the more discussions they have and the connections they can make
mm-hmm.
Between their lives and lives from people with other backgrounds, I think that'd be huge. So, for example, we did a couple of different books, and in one of the books it gives me the connection. I said, oh, if you lived back then, and I am an Indian, Indian American, I guess, Indian from India, they said, oh, you wouldn't be able to teach in our school. I'm like, no, I wouldn't. And I thought it was really cool that they could make that connection.
Right.
Based on whatever book they were reading, they could tell, oh, based on skin color, those are were made in the past based on skin color, and they made a real life connection to that. So I think the more discussions they can have, and the more they can be aware of what's happening in the world around them, and get a bigger picture of what's out there. I would think it's even more important here on the Western Slope, because kids don't get other experiences very often unless they're going to a city.
Right.
And at least in my experience, so I just think it's really important in the Western Slope communities to have exposed kids to people from different backgrounds, not just ethnically, but just all different kinds of diversity.
Right.
And I think literature is a great way to do it.
That was Angela Jalan, a teacher at the North Fork Community Montessori School located in Hotchkiss, Colorado. I wanted to compare another public school in the Delta County School District, so I interviewed Jean LaTourette, a teacher at Paonia Elementary School. So the first question is, what does multicultural education look like in your school?
First of all, I need to say that the foundation of any study of multicultural thinking needs to begin with kids accepting those who are different from them. And at school, in all the grades, we begin the year and then we try to continue all year building a classroom community. We learn to listen to each other and respect what others are thinking and feeling. And we have some cultural differences, primarily Hispanic at our school. Students are able to learn about the differences in our culture and the attitudes and perspectives that kids have, and even the learning styles within the classroom community. Throughout the grades, we learn more and more about our Paonia community, and we have local business people come in, and we go on lots of fun field trips in the community. Last fall, for example, the second grade visited Big B's to see fruit juice production. That was pretty interesting. And we also went to Rain Crow Farm to learn about organic farming. We kind of incorporate multiculturalism in diverse ways. In the early grades, we study world geography to help students learn the continents and the oceans and all the places beyond Paonia. And in second grade, we publish a book called Where in the World Am I?, which starts with a child's home, and then we progress through the neighborhood, the town, the county, and all the way to the solar system. And that way, we're trying to stretch children's perspectives to more of a worldwide view rather than just a local view.
So when you're studying these different countries and stuff, you also talk about the cultural aspects of those countries that make them unique?
As much as possible. And like right now with the Olympics, my class is keeping track of the medals that the United States is winning. Very disappointing yesterday, I might add, in snowboarding. But anyway, we try to mention, you know, things about the different countries as much as we can in relation to the Olympics, just so that they can tie it all in.
Do you feel like multicultural education at Paonia Elementary School is consistent throughout the grade levels in the school, or do you find that it may be a little bit more concentrated in the lower grades or the upper grades?
I think when we talk about the diversity of our American culture, we're talking about the study of American history. And we have the Colorado State Standards, which tell us which grade levels should focus on which area. So we're kind of tied to that. But so it goes kind of like there are units on early Mayan and Aztec civilizations and European explorers in the upper grades. And then in the lower grades, they learn about early explorers and native tribes that helped to create our culture. And in a couple of grade levels, they study holiday traditions throughout the world. And I think in both first and fourth grade, they do that, which is real interesting. In second grade, which is, of course, my strength, we spend time learning about slavery, the Civil War, and the relationships between white settlers and native tribes during the time when the pioneers went west during westward expansion times. And right now, one of my favorite focuses is how ordinary people have made extraordinary changes to solve problems. And we've been reading about Martin Luther King. Rosa Parks will come soon, Jackie Robinson. And there's a book called The Librarian of Basra. This is about a real woman who saved a bunch of books in a library in Basra during the Iraq War.
Cool.
And it's interesting because in the book, you see these fighter jets flying over, dropping bombs on the library and other places. And I say to the kids, guess whose planes those are? And they can't even imagine that those would be our planes, but that war happens. And anyway, so she's a real hero. She saved all those books. And we also study Cesar Chavez. So I think from all this study, the kids learn a lot about the diversity of their country. In the upper grades, they study early civilizations, native tribes, and explorers as well. So,
as an educator, if you could do one thing to increase multiculturalism in your school, what would it be?
I, of course, have a fantasy of the magic school bus, and I am Ms. Frizzle, and I take my class to anywhere in the world, and we visit Paris, ooh la la, and other places. But more realistically, I go to teacher blogs a lot to find out what other teachers are doing, and one of the things I've heard about is the global classroom. And these teachers, one of them in Ohio that I learned it from, they connect to other schools and other classrooms in around the world, and they do it all on the internet. And I'm sure there are all kinds of legal ramifications and things you would have to do, but it would be so cool. There is one more thing I'd like to say, which reflects a belief of mine about public education. Garrison Keillor once said, "Libraries and public schools are the temples of democracy." And I really think that that's where kids learn how to respect each other, how to respect each other's opinions, and hopefully to accept them. So,
well, thank you so much for coming in today. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you.
That was Jean LaTourette, a second grade teacher at Paonia Elementary School. Here's an interview with Tanya Coleman, a teacher at Johnson Elementary School in Montrose.
I teach second grade at Johnson Elementary in Montrose, Colorado. I think I'm going on 6 years now. And I first moved out to the Western Slope to teach in Telluride for 1 year.
What does multicultural education look like in your school?
You know, it's interesting because school-wide, it looks a little bit different than it does in individual classrooms. And I think a lot of that has to do with the changes that's going on right now with Common Core and all of the new testing and the teacher evaluation. So multicultural education is really important in our school, at least, but it seems like something that's not at the forefront school-wide right now. So we sort of take it upon ourselves as teachers in the classroom to kind of know what the standards are as far as Colorado State standards, combine them with Common Core, and then see how we can continue our multicultural education experiences, being committed to that in our classrooms. And I guess I just want to say that in our school, you won't see a whole lot going on school-wide, and you'll see it more in teachers' classrooms.
All right. So can you give me a few examples of what it looks like in your classroom?
Yeah, I am huge on multicultural education just as far as a year-long spectrum goes. So I do everything that I can do to get to know my kids. And so the first thing is getting to know my kids and seeing, learning how to appreciate what cultures they come from and the diversity that they represent in the classroom, and then we'll go off of that. So in other words, if I have a student who is from China, or maybe she's been adopted by a family in Montrose, we'll go in and we'll study the culture of China, and we'll really make that a big deal that year. Or if I have any of our American Indian kiddos in our classroom, then I will study their tribe, and I will try to get to know their culture from the tribe's perspective and bring that into the classroom. So it starts with the kids. And then as far as responding to all the issues surrounding cultural diversity and racism and discrimination and things like that, it ebbs and flows throughout the year in my classroom.
And what is the racial makeup of your school in Johnson Elementary?
You know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but just off of the top of my head, I think we're about 56% Hispanic, and probably 1% Native American, I want to say, and probably the rest Caucasian. You know, like, again, without having the stats in front of me, I think we're pretty close along those lines. from San Francisco, but I've been in Montana and Nevada, I've been all over, so I've seen multicultural education in a lot of different places, and would love for us to sort of grow and develop in that area.
Mm-hmm. So you think that it's an important thing, regardless of what the racial makeup is of a school, of an elementary school, is it still an important thing for students to have?
I think that multicultural education is very important regardless of the racial makeup. And I think a lot of that is because it intrinsically teaches children how to respond to a lot of different societal issues that are going on in their lives today, regardless of race. And so, for example, with Martin Luther King, he was somebody who was very young, and he grew up, of course, as we know, in the Civil Rights era, and he was promoting nonviolent solutions to a very violent era, and basically that's bullying. So it's bullying on a big perspective that he was trying to address, and that's such an important aspect going on with our kids to this day as far as the social networking and what just goes on in the classroom and in school and at home and on YouTube and on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that regardless of the racial makeup in a classroom, that multicultural education definitely helps us assist in developing, you know, response mechanisms to all of those societal pressures that they're going through.
I know you had said earlier that the multicultural education varies within the school depending on the teachers. Do you think it's present still at all of the different grade levels, or do you find that it may be a little bit more concentrated in some of the lower grades or the higher grades, or is it pretty stable?
That's a really good question. I think it's constant. I think the lower grades have more autonomy to allow for more approaches to multicultural education because we aren't doing the standardized assessments. And I hate to say the testing kind of directs what we're doing in the classroom, at least at the third, fourth, and fifth grade level, but it really does.
Yeah.
And so when you're in a high-stakes classroom, which would be our third, fourth, and fifth grade classrooms, I know that they still approach multicultural education within their classrooms. But as far as how they respond to it and how continuous it is throughout the year, I want to say that they just don't have the autonomy to bring it in like we do in the primary grades.
Mm-hmm.
Because we still have a little more time. Yeah, we have to do what we're told to do, and that's get those test scores.
So my final question is, as an educator, if you could do one thing to increase multiculturalism in your school, what would it be?
Yes, my number one wish would be to be allowed to have that freedom as an educator and as a school and as a system of academia to be able to commit ourselves to respecting and appreciating multicultural education as much as the current trend seems to be appreciating high-stakes exams.
That was Tanya Johnson, a second-grade teacher at Johnson Elementary in Montrose. Now that we've briefly looked at multicultural education in Montrose and Delta County school districts, let's shift our perspective back to the macro level, the more general, the bigger picture. To help us get there, I interviewed Daniel Sandoval, the Director of Student Diversity at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction.
One of the things I work with is our diversity initiatives, promoting diversity awareness, inclusion, and equity for students on campus. We run a lot of different events focused on cultures and ethnic backgrounds and sexual orientation.
Are you familiar with the demographics here in Delta County? A little bit different than over there in Mesa?
A little bit. I know that I worked in Delta from 2001 to 2002 briefly. So I'm a bit familiar with the area.
We have a mostly Caucasian population.
Sure.
There's not a lot of racial diversity.
Mm-hmm.
There's more so in the town of Delta, but for Delta County as a whole, it's pretty Caucasian.
Sure.
So I think that affects how people think about multicultural education in our public schools.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, we don't need it because we don't have a diverse population. So they don't need, our students don't need to learn about the different cultures. So the first question I have for you along those same lines is, do you feel that a multicultural education is important for our students? Why or why not?
Well, in the public school setting, I think it's critical to have some component of it. I know that, you know, when you actually look at Common Core, which are the standards that the school districts in the state of Colorado are transitioning to, a lot of those standards have content in them that's easily transferable to multicultural education. So if you're talking, for instance, about American history and you're studying the Civil War, there's some multicultural things that you can do about slavery and about African Americans, blacks, and how they came to this country. There's some strong correlations as to how the abolishment of slavery ultimately transcended into the civil rights movement. And those are important parts of the history of this country, and I think even important parts of the history of the world. And even though sometimes we feel like we are isolated in our own communities, the reality is that we're in a global economy, and I don't know that there's anybody that would really argue that anymore in 2014, because so much of what we do and how our economies function, even in the smallest of towns, have to do with how things happen on a global scale, and for good or bad, we're a part of that, and it affects us and impacts us. And so because of that, I think that you can easily tailor in, whether you're talking about economics, whether you're talking about history, or you're talking about literature. There's a wide variety of different literatures that you can use in the standardized content or the Common Core that school districts are mandated to have. So I don't know that it's really a question of whether or not you do it. It's how you do it. And I really don't think that it necessarily is like a top-down initiative where a superintendent should be saying, you need to incorporate these multicultural components into your curriculum. But I think it's the teacher responsibility to say, hey, this is something I'm going to grab or I'm going to use in my classroom that matches what the school district is telling me that I have to do. And I think that's probably the most effective way to actually implement multicultural education.
I did three different interviews with teachers from three different schools that I'm comparing. Mm-hmm. And several of them said that the reason they can't be more multicultural is because of the Common Core curriculum, and that they don't have the autonomy within their classrooms because of all these standards to add the multicultural thing. But it sounds to me like your argument is, yes, that possibility is there.
Absolutely, it's there. What you need to do is you need to be comfortable enough with the standards to know where you can enhance them and where you can shine the spotlight a little bit brighter in certain areas. It's just a matter of comfort level when we're talking about, you know, these Common Core standards that you have to adhere to. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of the school districts, I can't really speak to Delta County as much as I can to District 51, but the local school district here in Grand Junction is more focused on, like, you have to meet the standard. And so the message that's relayed to most teachers and to most administrators is that just focus on the standards. Well, once you're comfortable with the standards and once you have them, you can say, hey, I can meet the standard by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an element of creativity and awareness on a teacher's part for how to get that implemented. And some teachers are going to naturally be better at it than others. And if you can just do it in one area or do one thing at a time, I think that that's the important piece, is that you don't overwhelm yourself. Teachers enough are already not paid well enough for what they do and the time they put in. And so, you know, I don't think that a realistic thing is to ask them to go and reinvent the wheel. The realistic thing to do is say, okay, I'm teaching this unit on XYZ. How is there something I could implement, even if it's a 10-minute video or is it maybe it's just an article, a news article, something that I can show to my classroom to help further accentuate that there are other cultures in our country and in our world that are different than what mm-hmm. we might have here in Delta County.
Right. And, you know, Delta County, Montrose County, over here on the Western Slope, we tend to be, you know, kind of pretty isolated a lot mm-hmm. of times. And so I've heard the argument that, you know, a multicultural education better prepares our students for the, you know, for the wider world. Mm-hmm. You know, when they get out there, you know, they're going to encounter all of these different cultures that they may not have encountered growing up here on the Western Slope.
The reality is that because we have a global economy, we have to be more comfortable with people that are different than us. We're going to be forced to do business with people from different countries, from different religions, different backgrounds, different sexual orientations. And we may or may not agree with their practices or their cultures or the way they live their lives. What we need to be prepared for, though, is that we can set aside those differences and still work with them. And any way you spin it, these things are going to come up. Even though we say that we're sheltered on the Western Slope of Colorado, the reality is that we're not. There's differences between you and your neighbor. They like to mow their lawn one way, you like to mow it another way. We also have those differences maybe in the color of our skin. Maybe it comes to our religion. Maybe it comes into the way that we like to dress.
Mm-hmm.
That's what multicultural education is about. It's about just exploring the differences that exist in the world and being appreciative of those differences, not necessarily agreeing with those differences or accepting those differences, but it's saying, you know what, there are those differences. And if I'm going to function as a member of this global economy, this global society, this digital age where I can connect with people halfway across the world with a click of my finger on a computer or a mobile device, I need to probably be okay with exploring the differences that exist out there.
So you work with college students.
Correct.
Are you finding that college students are more tolerant of different cultures and, I mean, just differences in general than they may have been, say, 10, 20 years ago? Do you feel like tolerance is increasing or declining with your the group of students that you work with?
It's definitely increasing. We have more and more students that are okay with differences on a college campus than there used to be. Even here at Colorado Mesa University, where we have maybe 24% of our students come from what we would call a, you know, non-Caucasian, non-white background, they are still overwhelmingly more embracive of these students of difference than they probably ever used to be. Part of the university's vision is to internationalize our institution, which means bringing students from other countries more intentionally onto the CMU campus. And in order to do that, you have to have an atmosphere that's inclusive and that's respective of people's differences and their customs. And I do think that even though, no matter where you go in this country, you're going to find people that are not as welcoming or that are not going to want those things. Even amongst college students, you'll find that. But as a whole, and in general, you're going to find that college students are way more accepting of people of difference
mm-hmm.
than they used to be.
If there was one thing that you could do to increase multicultural education, one thing you think that would better prepare students for, you know, for example, just for college or, you know, just for that next step in their life, is there one thing you can think of that would help to improve where we're at now?
This is going to be a really simple answer, but I think it's an effective answer, and it would be to read literature, read books that aren't coming from the mainstream culture mm-hmm. that we have, and you can do that in a variety of ways. There's a lot of great books, a lot of great literary works out there that you can use in classrooms day in, day out, that just help shed the light on the world in a different way. than you may have seen it before. And simple things like that are what truly make a difference.
That was Daniel Sandoval, Director of Student Diversity at Colorado Mesa University in Grand Junction. What do you think? Are our local public schools sufficiently preparing students for the global economy they are sure to face? Or are there improvements which could be made? Nelson Mandela once said, "Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world." Thanks for tuning in to Local Motion. Tune in next month when we'll discuss the current budget issues facing the Delta County School District. I've been your host, Amber McDaniel, and you've been listening to Local Motion, right here on KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio.